Now, we've spoken about this mesh that's used for construction purposes, really, in your lower body, particularly in women for pelvic operations, and many women have been on to us talking about this and saying the result of the operation meant they were in severe pain afterwards. And one of the many members of the Mesh Survivors group in Ireland have shared a story about a woman from the Netherlands, and the post read, a woman with two plastic mesh mats has sought euthanasia in the Netherlands. She says she suffers unbearable pain from these mats, and she says that it will not improve anymore. Now, as I say, we've spoken to many women in Ireland and indeed in Wicklow about the complications they are facing after surgeries using surgical mesh. Now, they're not using them at the moment. However, we want to hear about the current status and what the prognosis is for people and what's the future. Let's talk to David Taylor, Professor of Materials Engineering at Trinity College in Dublin. David, good morning to you.
Hello, Declan. Good morning. Very nice to speak to you.
Thanks for joining us on this and talking to the women, though we did have some men. I mean, the complications are unbearable.
Yes, that's correct. I'm afraid, as you mentioned there, Declan, you can have a situation where you're in chronic pain and your doctor is telling you, look, you're going to have this pain for the rest of your life because I just can't do anything for you. I can't take any more of this mesh out. And the mesh is maybe pressing on a nerve or something. And that's a very sad situation.
Just to go to the beginning, I mean, was this seen as a great answer to what basically is a physical but technical problem inside a person's body?
Yes, exactly. I mean, just briefly, the history of this mesh material has been used for a long time, for about 50 years, for treating hernias. If you have an abdominal hernia, the surgeon uses a piece of this mesh as a kind of a patch that he stitches over the hernia to keep it in place. And by and large, those work extremely well. And then in recent years, and it started about 20 years ago, they started developing other products using the same mesh material, but using it in a variety of ways in these so-called pelvic organ operations. Generally, the typical situation would be a woman after childbirth who maybe has problems with urinary incontinence or with prolapse of organs in that area.
So are you saying that the hernia operations, they can continue because there's very few complications with those?
Well, yes, this is the situation at the moment. There's a ban has been put on the use of mesh in the pelvic organ operations since last summer, but the abdominal operations are continuing. There is that the same problem, what we call mesh erosion, does happen sometimes with these hernias, but it's quite a rare complication. Only happens in certain circumstances.
Right, so let's concentrate then on the difficulty, and particularly for women, and the rather frightening statement that you made that people will have this pain for the rest of their lives. I mean, what can we do? You're working in materials engineering, so is it a change in materials or a different technique or what?
Well, this is a good question. I mean, when I first heard about this, I've worked on a variety of different materials for medical devices of all kinds, and when I first heard about this a couple of years ago, I did what we always do, of course, which is I went online to try and find out what fundamental research had been done on it, because I know I was expecting that before these products had been launched, that the companies and other researchers like me in universities would have looked at the problems and would have tried to avoid them before they happened. But when I looked online, I found, to my surprise, there was absolutely no published research in this area. There's a lot of published clinical studies, which is basically doctors reporting the problem in their patients, but no fundamental scientific work to to do what we do as scientists, which is to simulate the problem in our laboratories. Okay, so what I did was I got hold of some of this mesh, and along with my researcher, Alan Barton, we set up an experiment where we are able to, do something in the laboratory which is exactly the same as what we know is happening inside the bodies of these people.
As a layperson, the fact that this is not an organic difficulty, that it is a physical difficulty.
That's right.
Is there not another solution?
Well, there have always been other solutions, and I think this is one thing I would say to any of your listeners, if they have these problems, that they really have to have the conversation with their doctor, where the doctor outlines the various options, and mesh is certainly one of them, but there are other operations, and there are also, more less invasive things that one can do to help, and the doctor really has to outline the advantages and the disadvantages of all of these outcomes. I think this is a major criticism here is that a lot of women, especially those with the stress urinary incontinence problem, have been given these meshes without really being told, look, you have a chance here. It's about a 2.5% chance. That's 1 in 40 people. About 1 in 40 people will suffer a serious complication, of which most of those complications would be the mesh erosion problem, and so I think it's a case of having that conversation where you look at the pros and cons of that, and some people may be happy to accept that risk, but I guess others won't.
You spoke, I believe, David, in the Dáil about this issue, and Minister Harris is aware of it. So where are we?
Yes. Back, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I was part of a group that went into the Dáil and spoke to some of the TDs and others. And a few months after that, I think it was June or July last year, Minister Harris announced a ban on the use of the mesh material for these pelvic operations in public hospital operations. I think the ban doesn't necessarily extend to private, but I don't know if there are any doctors still doing it privately in Ireland. Similar things have happened around the world, a similar situation in the UK. Some countries have gone even further. I believe in New Zealand they've completely banned these operations. The idea here, I suppose, is sensible enough, is that it's a temporary ban until we better understand what's going on here, what the risks are, and what can be done about it.
And in your branch of research in this, the word hope, can we concentrate on that? Is there hope? Can you offer any hope to particularly the women who are, just having this chronic pain?
Well, I think in the case of women who are already in this situation, it's very difficult. I know there are doctors who are working very much to try to improve the ways of dealing with that problem, of removing the mesh. The problem, you see, is that this mesh becomes very much incorporated into the body. The body is very good at, dealing with foreign invaders, and so what the body does is it forms scar tissue on the mesh, and then it's very difficult for the doctor to remove the mesh without, doing a lot of damage to the surrounding tissue. So I know there are people who are, working on better solutions for the people already suffering. Where I am really is I'm looking to the future and trying to, to help companies to improve their products, putting a little bit of pressure, I guess, on these companies and saying, well, did you really do enough research before you launched these products in the first place? Maybe they did, but if they did, they certainly didn't publish it anywhere that I can see it. And as I say, we have this now, this simple test rig, so we can now compare different products, different materials as regards their tendency to cause this problem. So, I'm very keen to talk to anybody who'd like to send me any of these products, and we can test them and put some science on this, really.
So the meshes in there sort of gets overgrown as such because it's part of the body now, the body accepts it. Where does the actual pain emanate from?
Well, of course, you get pain if nerves are involved, and so if the mesh, one situation is that simply that the mesh is pressing on a nerve, and that can cause continuous pain. The other situation is this so-called erosion, where the mesh literally cuts through the tissue. It's kind of hard to imagine, but you know, this is a fabric type material. It is literally knitted, the same as your jumper might be knitted, but you wouldn't want to make a jumper or a shirt out of this material, because if you did, you'd find it's extremely scratchy. It's very itchy on the skin, and so you can imagine, you know, what's happening inside a person. It scratches on these organs, and it can literally cut through internal organs. I don't want to get to become maybe too graphic for your listeners, but I guess anybody can imagine the kind of pain and difficulty that would cause.
So, is the research about replacing the mesh, or finding some way to live with the mesh, putting something, I don't know, even another layer of something around the mesh that eliminates its function, or something which probably, as what you say, doesn't seem likely if it's actually scratching against organs. But is the research to look for a fix or a brand new technique?
Yes, I think both of those things, really. I think we can look at different materials, and we can look at different ways of manufacturing this material so that it's softer, it's less scratchy. We can look at ways of protecting it. There are other alternative materials out there, but by far the most common of these mesh materials is a polyethylene fiber. No, I was right the first time. Polypropylene, excuse me, getting my polys mixed up. And that's a very common one, but there are alternatives, and are even natural materials, which can be used as replacements. So looking at all these things, and I think also fundamentally understanding why it happens in some people and it doesn't happen in others, really.
Can you do a test for that?
Well, then you start getting into the biology. There are, theories out there. Are the suggestions, for example, that it's connected with infection, that sometimes if the mesh becomes infected with bacteria or whatever, that the scar tissue maybe doesn't form properly, and then you get the erosion. But, these are quite complicated questions that are going to take considerably more extensive and long-term experiments to determine.
Gosh, yeah. And in the meantime, people live with this. You can imagine, I don't know that story about the woman in the Netherlands, but she's reached in her mind the end.
Yes, and I have certainly spoken to several women who report this, this continuous pain, and you can imagine that would lead you down that road. Yes, it's extremely sad. And if we talk about the numbers, I mean, we don't know exactly how many women in Ireland are involved. We do know from the UK that over the last 10 years, about 130,000 women had these operations. And so I would guess in Ireland you're talking something like 10,000. And of those, the risk of this happening, in the worst cases, it's up around 10%. 1 in 10 in the not so bad cases, maybe down to about 2%. But I mean, you can do the sums there, and there must be at least several hundred women in this country suffering from this very sad problem.
Indeed, that's very enlightening, David. Work is going on, but it looks like it's going to take a while. That's the story.
Well, yes, but I have a lot of sympathy for the engineers and designers in these companies. I often work with these companies myself, advising them. And, it's always difficult when you're designing something which has a mechanical function, as this does, a support function, but you're going to put it into a person and it's going to stay there for years and years, without failing, without causing any problems. And, they do get it right a lot of the time, but there are cases, I'm not sure if this is one of them or not, but there are cases where I feel the companies just didn't do enough research or, put enough time and effort into the design of the product in the first place. And, I think that's an issue we've got to face now.
Thanks for your time this morning, David Taylor. Thank you. Good
morning. Thank you very much, Declan.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's bye. David Taylor there, Professor of Materials Engineering at Trinity College in Dublin.